Have any of you heard that there is an election this year? Want to know what I think? I think you should know that your rabbi is the last person you should look to for political or policy advice. This is true for many reasons. I am singularly unqualified. I've never studied political science, economics, or history, nor have I read widely in this field. I don't have anything intelligent to add to debates on tax policy, international trade, fighting terrorism, health care reform, the Iran agreement, reducing crime, or even fixing potholes in the street. I do, however, know where Aleppo is. My judgment on who would make a good president in the past has been about as accurate as flipping a coin. And perhaps just as important, IRS regulations prohibit me from endorsing a candidate from the pulpit. But I do know something about Jewish values and Jewish ethics, and I believe strongly that these values should influence us in the electoral choices we make. This is especially true for those of us who consider ourselves Reform or liberal Jews. Reform Judaism focuses on the ethical, how we treat each other, animals, and the environment, far more than we focus on ritual issues. So the following in no special order is my commentary on those Jewish values that should inform our choice in every one of the electoral decisions we will be making in less than 4 weeks. From the Ten Commandments, Anochi Adonai Elokecha, I am God, and by implication, God tells us you're not. We should look for people seriously aligned with a faith, to people who are aware of a higher power than themselves, a power that seeks their actions even when others do not. Lo ta'aseh lacha fesel, don't make false idols and don't worship them. Beware of people that worship the things of their own making, money, power, buildings, cars, jets. Lo tignof, don't be a ganif, don't steal. Lo ta'aneh b'reyecha ad sheker, don't lie. Look at truth checkers, the people that evaluate the truth of candidates' statements very carefully. Lo tinaf, thou shalt not commit adultery. Judaism treats covenants very seriously, beginning with this most basic covenant of marriage. It is especially offensive to hear adulterers bragging about their behavior. V'ahavta reyecha kamocha, from the book of Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself, and understand that each person is created b'tzelem Elohim, in God's image. Even people from other countries and cultures, from other religions, with skin pigmentation other than your own, and either those of other political parties. Lo tikalel cheresh, also from Leviticus. You shall not insult the deaf, or by extension anyone else with any disability. Note the language, you should not insult the deaf. The rabbis asked, well, the deaf can't hear. That's exactly the point. Even though the deaf can't hear the insult, God can, and others can. And the hurt goes around and around back to the offended. From the book of Leviticus, Lo tif velifnei ever, lo titen michshal. Don't place a stumbling block before the blind. Another very interesting commandment. It's not likely that people were literally putting stumbling blocks in front of people. So why have this commandment? The rabbis interpreted this as meaning don't give bad advice, especially financial advice, that could hurt others who blindly rely on you and your reputation, particularly when such advice benefits you at their cost. Perhaps under the verse right before it in Leviticus chapter 19, which is, by the way, called the Holiness Code, says it more clearly. Lo ta'ashok et reyecha. You shall not defraud your neighbor. Tzedek tzedek tirdof. From Deuteronomy, justice, justice you will pursue. When we hear tzedek, we think of tzedakah and understand tzedakah as charity, but tzedakah really is more than charity. The word tzedakah comes from the concept of justice. Our tradition teaches that if you're not giving to charity, it's not that you're being stingy, you're being unjust. The idea is that God gives you resources. Some of us have far more resources than others. And our obligation is to share those resources with those who have not gotten them directly from God. They are to get them from God through you. And the highest form of tzedakah, according to Maimonides, is giving someone a job. Presumably the lowest form is the lighting in the phrase, you're fired. B'yomoti tens charo v'lo ata vo alav chashemesh. This, also from Deuteronomy, says you should pay a laborer each day, literally before the sun sets. You should pay your bills when they are due. The person you are paying may not easily be able to wait until you finally get around to it. And they may not be able to sue you, bearing the cost and time of a lawsuit to get what you owe them. Our tradition teaches in the Talmud on Tractate Shabbat that the first question you will be asked in heaven, the first question you will be asked when you meet my boss is, Nasata v'natata be'emunah. Did you deal honestly with people in your business practices? Again, from the book of Leviticus, the Holiness Code. Lo telech rachil ba'amecha. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. This is the basis for extensive rules concerning lashon hara, literally the evil tongue. In Judaism, we understand that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can inflict wounds that may never heal. This includes speaking ill of someone, especially falsely. Publicly humiliating someone, such as calling someone names. Note that plain talk in Judaism is not considered a value. Gossip in particular is especially offensive. There's a rabbinic story about a rabbi who was offended. I don't remember if I told this recently. A rabbi who was offended and the person who offended him comes back to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, I'm terribly sorry that I spread these rumors about you and I would like your forgiveness. And so the rabbi says, okay, but here's what I need you to do. The man says, anything. He says, do you have a feather pillow at home? He says, of course. He says, bring the feather pillow to me. Brings the feather pillow. He says, now go outside where the winds were blowing quite strongly. Go outside, cut open the feather pillow and scatter the feathers. The man doesn't quite know why, but in those days people actually listened to the rabbi. So he went outside and scattered the feathers. And then he came back in and the rabbi said, now I would like you to go back and gather all the feathers and put them back into the pillow. And the man said, it's impossible. Who knows where all these feathers have gone all over creation? And the rabbi explained, that's exactly the problem with gossip, is that once it leaves your mouth, who knows where it goes? Reminds me of another rabbinic teaching that the difference between a sword and an arrow. The rabbis compare words of insult, of anger, of gossip to an arrow. They say a sword, if somebody pulls out a sword and unsheaths it, he might just put it back without using it. But once you fire that arrow, you can never take it back. Our tradition has extreme concern for the feelings of others. There is a somewhat obscure law called the storekeeper law. It's in the Babylonian Talmud, Baba Mitzia. It says, one is not permitted to ask the storekeeper the price of an item if he knows he will not purchase the item. What that means is, yes, you're allowed to comparison shop, but if you know you're not going to buy a particular item at a particular place, you are not even allowed to ask the price, for fear of raising the hopes of the storekeeper or stealing the storekeeper's time. The example I always use is you go into a camera shop because you want to buy a newfangled camera, and you know you're going to buy it on eBay or you're going to buy it on the internet because of better prices. Yet you take the salesperson's time when he could have been trying to sell a camera to another person, falsely raising his hopes. Another story I love about feelings for others is the reason why we cover challah. Not to get you thinking about food, but when we break the fast, we have some beautiful chalot, and they're covered when we say the blessing. So there's a story about a rich man inviting the rabbi to his home for dinner. And the rabbi comes in, and the rich man is apologizing for the state of the house and the noise of the kids and the fact that things aren't perfect. And he's saying, oh, my wife didn't do this, and my wife didn't do that. Rabbi, I'm so sorry for not being right for you. And then it's time to eat. And they go over to the table, and the rabbi says, I'm sorry, I can't eat here. And the man says, why not? And he says, because this is not a kosher home. And the man is about to light in again to his wife, who must have violated something. But the rabbi says, no, you don't understand. Notice that the challah is covered. Why is the challah covered? On most days, we have bread with our dinner. And we say the blessing over bread. And then if we should happen to have a glass of wine later in the meal, we would say a blessing over the wine. But on Erev Shabbat, on Friday night, we say a long blessing, really blessing the Sabbath, using the wine as a vehicle to do so. And we do that first. And the challah, the bread, is wondering, what about me? So we cover the challah with a cloth, because it is a known Jewish fact that challah cannot hear through a cloth. And only after we finish the blessing over the wine do we uncover the challah and say the blessing over the challah. So if we care so much for the feelings of a challah, how much more so should we care, the rabbi explained, for the feelings of a person, namely your wife? This is not a kosher home. I spoke here a few years ago about Jewish beliefs about the afterlife, and we do have a concept of hell, Gehenna, a one-year period of punishment. And they talk in some of the medieval sources about the punishment fitting the crime. So, for example, one who is vain about their hair might be hung from their hair. One who is vain, one who participates in slander and gossip, might be hung from their tongue. Now don't despair completely, because you get off for Shabbat. That's one bit of good news. And the other bit of good news is that by and large, the maximum time you spend in Gehenna is 1 year. But one who commits adultery, publicly shames his neighbor, or fastens an evil name upon his neighbor, according to Bava Metzia in the Talmud, may spend eternity in Gehenna. Back to the Bible, the prophet Micah teaches that God wants three things from us. Osot mishpat v'ahavat chesed v'hatznea lechet im elochecha. Do justice, love goodness and mercy, and walk humbly with God. Judaism stresses the idea of Am Yisrael Chai. Our people, our nation, Israel, should live. Judaism is a people. Israel is our homeland. Israel needs consistent, solid support, a foreign policy that is not isolationist, a foreign policy that is stable and reliable. Judaism has much to say about peace in the world. In the words of the prophets Isaiah and Micah, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. In the Pirkei Avot, the Ethics of the Fathers, Hillel says, be among the disciples of Aaron, loving peace and pursuing peace. And that the idea that the world endures on three things, on justice, on truth, and on peace. In the Midrash, we are taught that great is peace since all other blessings are included in it. And that the only reason the Holy One, blessed be He, created the world was so that there would be peace among humankind. And our tradition speaks not only of peace among nations, but shalom bayit, peace in the home. It even goes so far as to point out that God misstates, God actually lies to preserve peace in the household of Abraham and Sarah. One might even say that God was politically correct. In Genesis 18:12, Sarah talking to God. God has just announced that Sarah at age 90 is going to have a child. Her husband, Abraham, is 99. And so she says, and I quote, "Am I to have enjoyment with my husband so old?" And later God is speaking to Abraham, actually, in the next verse. And he quotes Sarah saying, Sarah did laugh, saying, "Shall I in truth bear a child as old as I am?" Speaking for Sarah. So God misstates in order to preserve peace in the home. And that the Talmud, Yavamot, and Derech Eretz Zutas teaches that one may deviate from the truth for the sake of peace. It is possible to utter a falsehood for the purpose of making peace between man and his fellow. Our tradition values learning and knowledge, specifically science. There is actually a blessing to be said when you come in the presence of a secular scholar, amongst the blessings said when you come in the presence of a Torah scholar. The Pirkei Avot speaks of sitting and learning at the feet of scholars. And the Jewish tradition is you just don't learn by absorbing yourself, but you should learn from the sages, from the experts. More from the Pirkei Avot, from the Mishnah. Ezehu Chacham, who is wise? He who learns from every person. Ezehu Gabor, who is strong? He or she who subdues their personal passions. Ezehu Ashir, who is rich? The person who is happy with their lot. Ezehu Mikuvad, who is honored? The one who honors others rather than focusing on themselves. Our tradition speaks of immigration and keeping the stranger out. In Exodus, we are taught, "You shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the soul of the stranger, since you are strangers in the land of Egypt." It's not a common translation, but it's a literal translation of Yadatem et Nefesh Hager. This verse was quoted by President Obama 2 years ago in his speech on immigration reform. Probably not in the Hebrew. 36 times in the Torah we are commanded to protect the weak and the powerless in our society because we know how it feels to be weak and powerless. Perhaps the Jewish poet Emma Lazarus said it best in her poem engraved in the Statue of Liberty, or as she called the statue, the Mother of Exiles. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." My friends, the words of the awesome Unatana Tokef prayer may also be speaking about Election Day. Hine Yom Hadin, this is the day of judgment. As we have seen, Judaism has a lot to say about ethics and values and how we should conduct our public and private lives. It is these timeless values that should inform our decisions up and down the ballots and all of the questions that we will be completing in the coming weeks. L'shana tova tikatevu, gamar chatima tova. May we all be written and sealed for a good year in the Book of Life.